I'm Karen Given, filling in for Bill Littlefield. The Olympics have taken over Rio, but there is still, surprise, surprise, other sports news. There's even a Major League Baseball season going on. And that's where we'll begin this week's three stories you should know. Joining me are sports writer Eric Malinowski via Skype and the Toronto Star's Morgan Campbell. Hi, guys.
Hi, Karen.
Hey, I love Boston.
All right, Eric, what is this baseball story that's been distracting you from all the swimming, tumbling, and cycling?
Yes, baseball is happening. And for one player, baseball will no longer be happening. And that is Alex Rodriguez. This is kind of a shocker. I mean, it was really just barely a week ago that the Yankees announced that Alex Rodriguez would be effectively retiring in about 1 week's time. And that's it. And we've bid A-Rod adieu. It's been an incredibly compelling career, an incredibly controversial career. I mean, he was so hyped and he was the number one overall pick. And everybody kind of thought, oh, you know, he's going to follow in the steps of Ken Griffey Jr., who, again, he was also a number one pick and played for Seattle. And we just talked, you know, on this show a few weeks ago about how beloved Ken Griffey Jr. was. That was not the case with Alex Rodriguez. You know, I think he was very guarded. I think he was one of these people that very much kind of wanted people to like him. But I don't really think that we ever got the sense that we ever kind of really knew the true A-Rod. And that's kind of a shame.
One thing we forget about Alex Rodriguez, if we rewind to like 2006 or 2007, and it becomes clear that Barry Bonds is juiced. And Barry Bonds is going to break all the home run records. And all the old hard-bitten baseball writers who like to play the game the right way kept saying, well, we can't wait till Barry Bonds retires because then Alex Rodriguez is going to come along and break all his records clean. And remember, this was the sentiment, right?
Yes.
And then the Alex Rodriguez first steroid scandal hits. And all of a sudden, the whole trajectory, not necessarily of his on-field career, but definitely of his off-field esteem, it changes, and I found that fascinating because we just assumed that he was clean just because Barry Bonds was dirty. Like, because Barry Bonds is dirty, this guy must be clean.
And it's interesting because we did enter into an era where it's okay to say, oops, I doped, I'm sorry. But that's not what he did. And so I think a lot of people still sort of have grudges against him for that. Eric, I love that you brought up Ken Griffey Jr. because that just immediately brings up things that A-Rod and Ken Griffey Jr. did not have in common in my mind, which includes Ken Griffey Jr. did not play in New York, where the fans really, really expect brilliance. And more importantly, Ken Griffey Jr. did not, as far as we know, have two paintings of himself as a centaur in his house.
I mean, it's a mighty big assumption, but I think we could safely assume that. You know, the other thing is that Ken Griffey Jr. never won a World Series. Uh-huh. And Alex Rodriguez actually had, you know, one of the great postseasons in 2009 that we've really ever seen in the modern era.
Okay, enough of this baseball stuff. Let's turn back to the Olympics. Morgan, what do you have for us?
What do we have this week? So a story you should be on the lookout for. It hasn't been written yet, but I can almost guarantee it will be written probably within minutes of the end of the men's 100-meter final Sunday night. And the story is this. It's one of two. One, how would insert sprinter here perform in the NFL? Or two, how many guys in the NFL could beat insert sprinter here in a 40-yard dash or a 100-yard dash? Newsflash, Americans. By and large, the guys sprinting in the Olympic 100-meter final are faster than everyone in the NFL. I hate to shatter your dreams, but I'm comfortable in saying that there is not a single person that could beat Usain Bolt, Trayvon Bromell, Justin Gatlin, Andre DeGrasse, not on a field, not on a gravel track, and certainly not on a real track.
You know, what I think is interesting is that I think we're actually going to see something a little bit of a reverse trend now. If you're talking about NFL and Olympic sports, I was looking it up, and apparently on the USA Rugby 7 team this year, you know, rugby is now back in the Olympics.
Yes.
There were three former recent NFL players on the USA Rugby team. If anything, maybe the narrative is going to change a little bit. Maybe it's not going to be, you know, it's not going to think about speed. Now that we have sort of a football analog, maybe it's going to be a little bit more about sort of the physicality and things of that regard.
For me, this really isn't about track and field, and it's not about football. For me, it's about how we dumb down how we consume the Olympics, you know? And NBC here in the States, Morgan, has blamed this on the largely female audience that they say doesn't really like sports. And they're more interested in the journey than the outcome. And no, really what it's about is they want to be able to air their stuff in prime time. So everything's on tape delay and they have to make it all about the drama. And I kind of liken it to Bambi, right? Like we can watch Bambi 1,000 times over. Yes, we already know what's going to happen. We know Bambi's mother is going to die, but we're going to cry. And, right. and we seem to like that. And that's how NBC approaches the Olympics, right? Like, oh yeah, we know that you already know that Michael Phelps won this race, but right. we're going to make you cry about it. And that'll make you keep watching. And I just think that all of the things that are wrong with the way that we cover the Olympics come down to that.
I'll forever think of the Olympics now as gut-wrenching Disney movies from the 40s and 50s. My mind has forever changed on this.
And I've seen any number of blazing hot takes about how all these NFL guys could beat Usain Bolt over 40 yards, and they never come from women. Don't blame women for this.
Fair point, yeah. So I'm thinking about Olympic golf. The headline in Golf Digest reads, "Golf in the Olympics finally resumes 112 years later, tears shed." And I am shedding tears of boredom, because I think that golf is boring. But more importantly, it's back in the Olympics because sponsors love it. Sponsors love the access to rich people, and apparently rich people like golf, go figure. But let's think about it logically. Rio did not have a championship golf course. They had to spend 6 years building one. They had to fly their security staff to the United States so that they could learn how to handle security at a golf event. They had to bring in 4 dozen volunteers from outside of the country to work the event. And then some of the biggest stars in the sport didn't even bother to show up. They say it was because of Zika. I say it's because there's no payday. The Olympics are ruinously expensive. We say this all the time for the host country. And the IOC is supposed to be making it cheaper. And instead of making it cheaper, they're adding golf, which makes it more expensive. What we really want is more swimming, gymnastics, fencing, track and field, all these sports that we only see every 4 years. So I say we can watch golf any old time.
Yes, because the other thing about golf is that, and especially at an Olympic Games in which pollution is such a strong undercurrent, these stories about the pollution in the bay where the open water swimming takes place, is that golf is also like such a water-intensive sport and a land-intensive sport. It just adds to the waste and to the negative environmental impact of an already unhealthy games.
Well, you mentioned, you know, bringing in all of these volunteers to help, because nobody really knew anything about golf. Clearly, they should have used that headcount on bringing in volunteers that knew something about pH levels in swimming pools. I think that probably would have been, you know, a better use of resources and headcount. For me, I'm just kind of looking forward to 2020 when we get surfing in the Olympics, because, you know, that will be sort of like a little bit more, like if we're going to talk about like sports that like maybe kind of don't belong there, but we're willing to give a shot. I'm so in on surfing, really not so much on golf.
Until the first country has to build their own waves.
We'll take these problems one at a time, but I'm willing to at least give that one a chance.
My guests for 3 Stories You Should Know have been Morgan Campbell of the Toronto Star and sports writer Eric Malinowski. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Karen.